What do you mean by substantive comments?
So substantive comments in an administrative process in before a record closes, it's up, open for public comment. And this is where people can submit their comments in, where they can say, I oppose these new rules, these are the reasons why. But very substantive ones are ones where people lay out a basis for their opposition. And that can be just in the form of a letter. It can be in affidavits, which we had affidavits put in the record, because this is the record that when we did go to court, this is the record that we would need to use. And we would be showing that the government had failed to address the particularities, because they have to make final rules, address the details of what's in this record in front of them. So there were sort of some groups were doing petitioning, and that was great because that, you know, lifted the number of comments. But the substantive comments meant that the Department of Interior and its solicitor's office, which I note is run by a Coke industry insider, would have to address these individual comments and explain why what they wanted to do wasn't a problem in the face of the legal challenges. And as we were coming down in that final, coming down to the wire in like the final 5 days before the record closed last fall, you know, there had only been about 1,200 comments in the record. And we were preparing to unleash this huge push. And as we did this with all these groups in coalition, we were thinking, you know, can we get past 5,000? Can we get past 10,000? Can we get past 30,000? And we're watching the numbers go up and up and up, because you can see the numbers as every day as the administrative record online visibly is getting submissions. And amazingly, it basically broke the needle. We went over 140,000 comments in opposition to this outrageous plan.
Why do you think that these proposed regulations resonated so strongly now?
I think that people are recognizing and experiencing what it means to come into the streets and stand shoulder to shoulder with other like-minded people and fight back against repression, against racism, against fascism, against misogyny. And many people who had never participated in political protest over the last couple of years have done so for the first time. And many others have participated, of course, in their lifetimes. And even others recognize, you know, from their family stories of, you know, how did you win the 8-hour day? I mean, they know what their grandparents and great-grandparents had to do to create a society that was, you know, incrementally everything that has changed for the better, and progressive change has come because the people have led. And the politicians follow. And at times when, you know, it looks just like an endless battle of people inside the Beltway sitting in Congress yelling at each other, people know that the change that they have to have is going to come from a mass movement of the people. You look at what's happening right now with people who are fighting for climate justice. The politicians aren't doing anything. It's the people that are going to make the difference. And if this administration can shut down protest in the nation's capital, you can imagine what would have happened all around the country. So that's why at the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund, I mean, we dropped everything. And we turned to focus on this virtually 100%. It was a singular focus and a rapid response focus, because we knew we had to stop it. And it was incredible to see the response of so many people and groups everywhere across the United States.
Mara, the ostensible reason from the government for these rules was to help defray cost of security, trash removal, grass replacement. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, this becomes the absurdity of that position. The Park Service's job is to manage neutrally our public lands. The lands belong to us. The lands belong to the people. And instead, they're looking at this portion of their existing job and their existing responsibility and basically disaggregating it and taking out these parts of it and somehow saying that First Amendment assembly is an extra cost. I mean, they could take out any number of things that they are obliged to do as part of their responsibility and suddenly claim that those are extra costs that they're going to charge back. I mean, if they want to charge the corporations that come to Washington, and they do to some degree, who, you know, take over vast public spaces because they're making movies here or TV shows, or the corporations that put on their 5Ks for this and that and their different runs. Okay, you can charge corporations for the use of the public space. But when the people want to use public space, it is our space. We're entitled to use it. They cannot charge us for access to our public space. But they're trying to kind of change the impression of free speech in society, and this is part of a mass effort across the country, to suggest that it's not a fundamental right and also a fundamental need, that somehow it's an extra cost, that it's a burden on society, instead of the fact that it is fundamental and core to democracy. And I would note that this is part and parcel of a larger effort that we're seeing that's being spearheaded by the Coke industry to go all over the country and create these anti-protest laws and rules where they're basically buying off state legislators, working with the fossil fuels industry to criminalize at an extraordinary level nonviolent protest, to try and demonize nonviolent protesters, to license the police to engage in extreme brutality, to have extraordinary arrests, fines, penalties, threats of bankruptcy for organizations that work with nonviolent protest. So this is one element of a larger plan to shut down dissent and to shut down the capacity of people to fight in the United States.
Mara, are you aware of any jurisdictions where there have been successful changes to rules related to protesters?
Yes, there are laws that have been passed across the country and a lot of legislators. There are groups that are working in an organized coalition called the Protect Dissent Network, who are working together to fight back against these rules. So it's really an extraordinary threat right now that we're seeing. At the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund, we are working and organizing to fight these rules all over the country. And we are looking at bringing litigation in order to similarly try and shut down these efforts where they are passing, to try and bring challenges that are both as applied and facial challenges. This is going to require a coordinated, comprehensive, thoughtful approach, because many of these rules are very similar from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, because basically they're being written by ALEC, which many people know is a Koch industry-funded right-wing legislative enterprise. So this is a big fight, and this is really a fight that is going to determine the future of this country and the ability of people to take to the streets and fight for change and force change when we need it.